News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Crews are still tangling with the collapsed wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. President Biden today getting a firsthand look at the destruction. He commended first responders for that day.
You know, from the air, I saw the bridge that's been ripped apart. But here on the ground, I see a community that's been pulled together. I want to thank you all, the first responders, the port workers, state and local officials, who sprang into action before dawn.
The president also urging Congress to help fund the rebuilding of the bridge and reopening of the port. Israel Defense Forces have dismissed two military officials after the deaths of seven aid workers in Gaza. An IDF investigation finding there was grave mistakes stemming from a serious failure due to mistaken identification. So far, no major damage reported from today's 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey. It was centered between Philadelphia and New York City airports, issuing temporary ground stops to assess damage. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Paid parental leave is coming to the universities of Wisconsin. Full-time employees can get up to 6 weeks off after a child is born or adopted. The Board of Regents reviewed the new policy yesterday. It takes effect July 1st. System President Jay Rothman says it'll keep Wisconsin competitive with other schools. April is Autism Month. More kids in the U.S. are being diagnosed, and plenty of adults, too. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She says she's encouraged by increasing public awareness.
We're learning new information all the time. So certainly reach out to your local chapter, your Autism Society, ask questions.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
41490 The Eagle, WLCX in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The UW Board of Regents met yesterday in Platteville and approved a 3.75% raise in tuition next year. When fee increases are factored in, the average increase per UW campus will be about 4.4%. UW La Crosse's increase is right at the average of 4.4%. UWL has had declining enrollment the last 5 years. This is the second straight year tuition has increased after a decade of tuition freezes. Last year, the average tuition went up by about 5%. A highway in La Crosse County will be closed at times starting on Monday. Work will be done on Highway 108 from the La Crosse County line south of Melrose down to West Salem. The project, which will last until mid-August, will resurface the road and also replace guardrails and culverts. The detours are Highway 162 or County Highway C. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has already put up signs and posted detours for the project. Today and tomorrow, sunny with highs in the 50s. Rain chances return on Sunday. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers hosting the Seattle Mariners. Reese Hoskins is off to a good start at first base and at the plate.
Replay overturned it.
Now Hoskins flirting with the pole. It's gone. Reese Hoskins makes it 2-0.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold.
Look, we're trying to win as many games as we can here this year and in the long run, you know, and so that's a tricky thing for us to balance when we're able to add veterans here with the type of track record that Reese has. That's really exciting. You know, he fits so well.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Raptors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee has lost 4 of their last 5 games.
There's at times that we play really well. There's at times that we don't. But at the end of the day, again, we had open shots like AJ had one, Malik had one, BP had one. Like, we had open shots. Pat, I think, had one. I had two. You know, you gotta make shots.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Fun.
finally, we get to sit under abundant sunshine today as high temperatures strike 50 degrees. We put that on repeat for tomorrow, too, with highs just a touch warmer into the mid-50s. Get out there and enjoy it, because rain rolls in by Sunday morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Kirk Bankstead, Ed Anderson, Amir Kakarovs, and Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What La Crosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about, you're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX. It's me.
Wisconsin. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Guess who's not the problem? Civic Media's news director, Terry Bell. We are trotting out this Friday a new segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to call it Media on the Media. And I am always humbled to be in the presence of incredible professionals. Lucky enough this past half hour to be joined by Chef Kyle Knoll of Birch Restaurant. And certainly really thrilled to share with you all a great asset at Civic Media, our news director, Terry Bell, for Media on the Media here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome, Terry. So happy to have you.
My goodness, I don't know how to follow that. But that's very gracious and very kind.
Well, I mean every word of it.
Thank you.
Welcome, Terry. Really happy to have you. I thought before we got into the meat of our discussion today, which I promised everybody yesterday, we're going to talk a little bit about how artificial intelligence might be impacting the way journalism and media works. But before we get there, I wanted folks to get to know you a little bit better, Terry. How did you come to be a journalist? Was this something that you knew as just a knee-high to a grasshopper kid that you wanted to do? Or how did Terry Bell become the news director at Civic Media?
Oh, gosh. Well, kind of. I mean, I've always been a great admirer of journalism. I grew up as a kid. I was a kid in the 1970s, back when, you know, the news at 5, the network news at 5:30, the local news at 6, was, you know, must-see TV.
Yeah.
And even as a kid, I remember being, you know, glued to the CBS Evening News and shows like that. And so I grew up with a deep respect for what it is journalists do. And, you know, events like Watergate, you know, I remember that very much as a kid, made a big impression on me and saw the power of what reporters can do to hold powerful people accountable. And so that always really intrigued me. But to be honest, I always thought I was going to be a sportscaster. Listening to Bob Uecker on the radio was one of my favorite things in the world. And I got as far as halfway through college, pretty much thinking that was going to be my path. But there was an opportunity to work in a newsroom. And they were taking on student help, and I thought, well, this would be good practice. I'll learn a lot of the skills I'm going to need. And that ended up being a big political year. That was the year that Bill Proxmire retired. Oh. And so there were wide open primaries in both major parties, and it seemed that I was going to school in La Crosse, and it seemed like there was a candidate in town every single day. And I got bit by the news bug. It was just intoxicating for me, a kid who grew up on a dairy farm in one of the most remote parts of Wisconsin. You know, here I am dealing with people every day. The students were entrusted with a lot of responsibility, this radio station. And the course of my life changed. And long story short, here we are.
That is a wonderful newsman origin story. For those who do not remember, Bill Proxmire was a very famous, long-serving senator of the state of Wisconsin. And yeah, there was his stepping back left sort of a power vacuum. And we've seen how things have evolved in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we now split our Senate seats. We got Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin. Wisconsin remains, and in my opinion, has always been an incredibly fascinating place for news as well as politics. Perhaps no more, no less so, or no more so than it is in this moment, in this election cycle. Terry, I wanted to ask you a little bit about why civic media is important to you. We are producing here on our end, each one of us that does some work on air, we're sharing and putting together videos about why radio is so important to us. But I think civic media has inspired a number of us because of the way that we approach news and the locality, it being a local news product. What about civic media drew you here, and why is civic important to you, Terry?
Oh, a lot of things. And I was approached back in 2022 about the possibility of working here. And I'd been following civic media in the trades. And back then it was just maybe two stations. And what intrigued me was what they were trying to do something different and trying to do something helpful. You know, regardless of how you feel about ideology, it was pretty clear that, you know, people in Wisconsin were only getting, you know, one side of the story, or, you know, one version of the truth. And it was, I felt I was pulling for them in the sense that I think that we need to get a more well-rounded picture for people. And also, you know, just for the sake of small d democracy, you know, just more points of view are better. And so I thought this was a great opportunity to be a part of something that's trying to do something more than, you know, just, you know, sell advertising, which is important. And we definitely, you know, are striving to be, you know, a sustainable business model. And that puts the onus on us to put out programming that is, you know, worth listening to, which gets a big enough audience to take to businesses and advertisers and say, you know, your money is well spent here, because you'll get a lot of ears listening to us. So, you know, it's all a perfect circle that then we all depend on one another to do that. But I saw this year coming up, 2024, and I thought this is a real difference to do something other than what I've been doing for many years. And so I jumped at it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's incredibly important for folks to have options, mm-hmm. and for people to be able, not just be able to, but to hear and to receive both sides of arguments, whether mm-hmm. that's in a newspaper. One of the sort of artifacts that I like to talk about often is when we used to read newspaper editorial pages, basically they'd run point counterpoint right next to each other on the page, right? And by doing so, folks basically forced, in air quotes, right? Folks were reading both sides of the argument. Now we self-select all the news. And I think locally based radio and news that you help civic media deliver to each and every one of our listeners statewide is an important element of giving people additional information, some different perspectives, and, mm-hmm. and you're flipping through the dial, you'll hear it. And yes. and that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. Terry, you shared with me before, as we were getting ready for today, that you were fortuitously yeah. going to a conference or a seminar today about artificial intelligence
yes.
and the media.
Yeah, it's and that's our topic today.
Yeah, do we need to be afraid? Should we be afraid? Or is this good? 50-50? What are we looking at here?
I guess, you know, my feeling is something closer to 50-50. Artificial intelligence, AI, we've been hearing a lot about it, especially in the past year or so, especially when it comes to, well, first it was deep fakes. And it's funny because I did a deep dive into my past social media posts. And even 5 years ago, there were conversations about deep fakes. And I was kind of surprised by that. You know,
for
our memories.
For folks that don't know what it is, what's a deep fake?
It is a video that appears to show something that didn't actually happen, usually of a person speaking. And they're somewhat convincing. We can talk about why they're convincing, but you can very easily, and more easily now than you could 5 years ago, just whip up a complete fabrication out of whole cloth. Because here's the thing, Maggie. You know, it used to be bad enough when you couldn't believe everything you read. But now we're in a day and age where you can't believe everything you see and hear. And that's concerning. And that's what's going on now. And we've seen it already in these elections. We've seen deepfaked advertisements. We have seen deepfaked robocalls with voices of political candidates, their voices cloned to make it sound like they said things they never said. And, you know, this is trouble because this is bad for democracy. Information is the currency voters have to make their decisions to, you know, elect our representatives and have them work for us honestly and fairly. And when that is polluted, then it can create chaos. And this is an important thing to keep in mind. The United States isn't the only country having an election this year. I believe there are upwards of 24, maybe as many as 26 countries around the world this year holding elections. And you know, when these AI farms that churn out this stuff, they are creating doubt and division and fear all over the world. And that's very concerning when you think about it.
How do you recommend people, if they hear something that's pretty eyebrow raising, how do you recommend people check it out? Whether it be a robocall, some sort of ad that pops, some video clip.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's good to be skeptical of anything you hear. And Al Tompkins gave one of the presentations at the event I was at today. And Al Tompkins is one of my heroes. He teaches a journalism practice with the Poynter Institute and a lot of great universities around the country. And he says, be skeptical, but don't be cynical. A cynic just doesn't believe anything. And a skeptic just simply wants the receipts. And we should be skeptical when we see things, especially, and this is what I've said for years, especially skeptical of things that we see that bolster our confirmation bias. Because right. we seem to be very good at spotting fake bits of information that we disagree with. But what you have to be careful is the stuff that we see, these memes and these articles on our social media feeds that we say, yeah, heck yeah, that's true, because they're trying to mess with you.
Yeah, it's a big one. Confirmation bias is simply our likelihood to believe things that confirm the values, beliefs, and perspectives that we already have. And those that use deepfakes and other manipulative tools that are becoming more and more sophisticated because of artificial intelligence will use the psychological phenomena to effectively manipulate us. So we all need to be aware of that. We're going to take a couple of quick messages, come back with my friend and yours, News Director Terry Bell, our news director here on Civic Media. We're going to continue our important discussion about the role and the impact of artificial intelligence in media. If you've got a question for Terry or I, you can always call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. It's a pleasure to have Terry with me this afternoon. I know he wants to hear your questions, so do I. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked, everybody.
Disguises altruism like some kind of consciousness. All this time, I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you leaving.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
What's up, Wisconsin? I think that's better than the original. Sweet Child of Mine in a lady's voice? Who's singing that on you? I love that.
This is a band I go to just about every show. This is First to 11, a female-fronted cover band that puts out some of the best covers of classic rock, punk, and pop in a female voice. It is awesome. First to 11.
Love it. Thank you so much, Anya. She's on your Esther. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined this half hour by Civic Media's own news director, Terry Bell. Thanks again for joining us, Terry. Before the break, we were talking about how folks can go about vetting information and spotting AI in both media and advertising and the bazillion little pings and things that show up in front of our faces in the course of a day. You had some tips for folks.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, when it comes to voice cloning, and it's pretty insidious because you can just take 30 seconds anymore of a recording of someone's voice, put it into this software, and then you can just type some text and it'll come back and it'll sound like that person is saying that. This actually, this was done with a Donald Trump a social media post that his name was put on it, and it was used in an ad in Iowa. So this is already being used in this election cycle. So what you want to be listening for, listen if the voice is a little flat, a little robotic, not a lot of emotion in it. That is definitely one. Listen if like there's nothing in the background, if the audio is just very clean and very precise. They played one example of the thing I was at today of something that got some traction, purportedly of being somebody who was drowning a driver supposedly on the bridge in Baltimore that collapsed. It did not sound like at all like a person who is in any kind of distress. It was very calm and a lot of diction and a lot of articulation in the voice. So, but people not being very skeptical believed it at face value and spread it around a lot, which just goes to show.
It ain't like back in Mission Impossible older movies, the old new movies, right? Where, well, we have to get him to say a word that contains all of these letters so that we can fake what this person is getting. It ain't that anymore. All they need is basically a snippet and off you go with AI. Again, just to summarize, something that sounds a little robotic, not a lot of emotional, overly precise diction, no background sound. I'll also add in there, none of the twang or less of the twang and euphemisms that you hear in many of our American regional dialects. Though I'm from Wisconsin, I've lived all over. I got a lot of different friends from all over the place. I hammer y'alls in what I talk about. I talk about folks all the time. Sure. AI ain't saying folks. AI probably ain't saying ain't. So if it feels like it sounds like a human, and take a careful listen on those things. I think that's really important advice. And I love the fact, Terry, that you talked about confirmation bias and trying to really challenge ourselves to seek out information that's challenging to us, but also to be aware of our own natural tendency. There's nothing wrong with this. We're all wired this way to believe things that confirm our worldview, our pre-existing
way that we like to think about the world. This is why sometimes when we're having debates, and my next question is going to come to you as a newsman about facts, right? People will have these debates and you'll often hear, but these are the facts. Da, 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 da. Right. And it doesn't move folks. As a newsman, how do you view your role in providing facts when so many of us seem impervious to facts?
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, that's pushing the rock up the hill, isn't it? And it sure seems that way in this day and age. I tell people, you know, look at the people, look at the news organizations that are playing the long game. They need to be in business for a long time. And to do that successfully, they have to build trust. They have to be transparent. They have to be right all of the time. And in those few occasions that you're not right, you have to correct yourself. And that's how a news organization that wants to be successful will be successful over the long haul. The news organizations that, if you will, and I use air quotes around that, the ones that are feeding you confirmation bias, they're looking for clicks. They're looking for instant monetization, instant disruption, and will tend to put things, especially say like on a bit on social media, the headline will make an emotional appeal and be pretty incendiary. There'll be a headline also, and that's the thing too, the headline almost has nothing to do with the article itself. It's just something to make you go, what? You know, he did that, she did what? And then you click on it and mission accomplished. And, you know, be careful about, you know, the names of some of these organizations. If it's an outfit you haven't heard of, and they do a very good job of looking very credible and looking very authentic. But if you look closely, you know, there'll be a lot of brand names on these sites they've never heard of before.
Yeah.
And that's a very sneaky thing too.
Yeah, they look right. Mm-hmm. The name might even sound right, but if you step back and you take a skeptical, not cynical look, mm-hmm. it won't pass that sniff test, if you will. It's interesting, Terry. I talk about all the time on the show, and I get into some wonk and some nerdiness and the complexities and nuances of things often. But one of the things that I like to talk about is that we should demand of our elected officials and folks in government that they should be trustworthy and transparent and accountable. And when you're wrong, say you're sorry and correct it, that you shouldn't be going for clickbait, right? And right. It's interesting to me, and I don't think any accident that a newsman like yourself, having spent your life trying to bring news to folks, has sort of a similar philosophy when it comes to journalism and journalistic ethics. The last thing I wanted to lean really hard into that you said, I think bears repeating. And that is when the headline doesn't match the content. This is not Terry. He's the news guy. I'm the commentator. If you have a source where the headline doesn't match the content, or where the headline promised you some salacious, gripping, tell-all, sensational, and then you read it and you're like, there's no there there.
Yes.
Stop going to that outlet. Mm-hmm. They're lying to you. It's a version of lying. It's manipulation that pulls on your heartstrings. In fact, a lot of these places will use AI to generate stories, and they'll basically back it. They'll come up with headlines that they think will play or that they think they could sort of defend, and then back into the rest of it. Mm. So I tell people all the time, if you see a headline, you're like, holy cow, and you read it and the article really doesn't support it, just dump that. Terry, it's been my pleasure to have you. I can't believe we're already out of time. You
the time flies. I know. I've got a lot more to say.
Well,
I thought I'd run out.
Yes. Guess what, everybody? Terry is going to be with me every first Friday of the month. We're going to continue to bring you Media on the Media because we want to become better skeptical consumers of information so that we all can be the most informed voters that we can with this important election cycle. My hat's off to you. And thanks, Terry Bell, Civic Media's news director. Don't go anywhere because our other Terry here at Civic Media, Terry Barr, is going to be up next with local and overlooked news this Friday. You're not going to want to miss that. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allmall, Monday, noon to 2. President Biden is in Wisconsin, and we'll have it for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Past couple of days, the butter markets have been mixed, from one day being up 7 cents to the next they're up 2 cents. So what's the cause behind this? I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Ryan Yonkman, broker analyst with EverEgg, has the answer.
Butter is a fun domestic product in that, you know, we're really kind of on an island with it, in that, you know, it's not a international product. We don't export lots of butter. We're actually a net importer. And so when you go back to the idea that U.S. milk production is down about 1.3%, and now add in a sprinkle of this flu, which we know has pulled some milk out, you've got a market there that's been tight and still trading like it's tight. It's trading like it's going to get tighter as we walk into the summer and fall months. So it really has its own set of fundamentals.
That was Ryan Yonkman, broker analyst with EverEgg. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 435 and a quarter, up 3.5 cents. New crop corn closed at 473 and a quarter, that was up 2 cents. Cash beans closed at 1180, that was down 2.25 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1183 and three quarters, and that was down a penny. Cash wheat closed at 556 and a quarter, that was up a quarter. And new crop wheat closed at 571 and a half, and that was down 3 quarters. On the dairy side of things, May Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1589 a hundredweight. That's up 25 cents. And June milk is trading at 1651 a hundredweight, and that is up 19 cents. Barrel cheese had no change and closed at 145. 40-pound block cheese also had no change and closed at 144. And the double A butter closed down a penny and closed at 293. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Finally, we get to sit under abundant sunshine today as high temperatures strike 50 degrees. We put that on repeat for tomorrow too, with highs just a touch warmer into the mid-50s. Get out there and enjoy it, because rain rolls in by Sunday morning.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently 53 degrees.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend. You walk out there.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to Civic Media's news director, Terry Bell, for joining me this past half hour. Mark your calendars, everybody. Every first Friday of the month is going to be Media on the Media with Terry Bell, something to look forward to. We've been in this interesting, gosh, I don't even know what to call it, slipstream environment bubble, where I think media outlets and news outlets have to start talking about themselves in a way and like how news gets covered on you. It's this really weird moment. I mean, we spent much of the 2016 to 2020 time coming up for words other than lie to describe what was coming out of not just some reporters and journalists' mouths, but the former MAGA president's surrogates. I mean, Kellyanne Conway with the alternative facts. And so this, we're in this very weird, kind of unprecedented moment wherein the way that we talk about the news and present it to folks has started to matter in a really deep way, because we need and want to encourage everyone to be skeptical, as Terry put it, not cynical, skeptical, but not cynical. And to try to encourage people to go out and seek out information that's challenging and viewpoints that are challenging, so that we all can be the most informed citizens and voters that we can. But given that it's Friday, and given that I haven't heard from this lovely lady in quite a few minutes, I am so pleased to also bring onto the air my good friend and your Civic Media own Terry Barr for Local and Overlooked. Terry, it's so great to have you back on the air. It's been a hot minute. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you. I think our vacations overrode each other, so we've missed each other for a couple of weeks, but thank you so much for having me back on. And I have to tell you, I had a journalism, radio, TV, film professor who said, if you wanted to be a good reporter, be a watchdog, not a lapdog. And I've never forgotten that.
I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah.
Watchdog, not a lapdog. Well, I think, you know, in many ways, Terry, if I can, that's a call to all of us in a way, right? Like,
yeah.
Hey, let's be watchdogs. Let's see and test the information that we're receiving. And
yes,
frankly, I hope lean into those outlets and folks that prove themselves trustworthy and transparent and accountable over time, and not lapdog ourselves to those folks that are manipulating us and lying to us.
Yes. Thank you for all of that. I could not agree more.
Wonderful. You got a couple stories for us for our Terry Barr's Local and Overlooked segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show. What is up that we all haven't heard about?
Oh, these are good. And they're a little more on the lighter side today, since I haven't chatted with you in a while. I thought, okay, we'll start on the lighter note for this first Friday back with you.
Love it.
You know, the solar eclipse, of course, is a huge focus right now. But what about a meteorite? This happened. A Dane County farmer out picking rocks, and if you've ever been around a farm and had to pick rocks, you know what I'm talking about.
I've done that myself.
Yes, me too. He was out picking rocks to get ready for spring planting, but he discovered a meteorite, an almost 110-pound meteorite. Now the scientists at UW-Madison are confirming Jim Koch is the owner of an iron and nickel meteorite. It was created in the solar system, they believe, 4 billion years ago. I'm just blown away by this. So same scientists say this is the only meteorite ever discovered in Dane County, and it's now going to be on display at the UW Geology Museum that is on Dayton Street in Madison starting tomorrow. And the Geology Museum is free and open to all, so you could go see this incredible piece of history the Dane County farmer found.
It's 4 billion years old.
Yeah, the scientists who were looking at this meteorite, I know, they say the way that they can look at what it's made of, that's how they know how old it is. And there have been, I guess what they would describe as younger meteorites found in other parts of Wisconsin, but this is the oldest one and the only one in Dane County. 4 billion years.
It does. It boggles the mind. Does this lovely farmer in Dane County who is picking his own rocks out of his planting fields, is he going to make out like a bandit? Like, is this thing worth something?
It is. It's worth a lot of money. And I guess in the discussions around this, the scientists were saying to Mr. Koch, you could cut it up and sell it for a lot of money in little pieces that people will want to buy and have. But I guess the family, from what I am understanding, the family had a big discussion about it. They did not want to do that. They would rather keep it in one piece and have it on display for other people to see because it is such a treasure. They did get paid to give it to the museum. They basically got paid a portion and they donated a portion back. So that's pretty cool.
How lovely. I mean, thank you for this, Terry, because sometimes, you know, our news oftentimes is really challenging from an emotional perspective. Yes. It can be a little dark and foreboding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got a lot going on here in these United States and in the state of Wisconsin. What a lovely story. And so great to hear about a family and a farmer in Wisconsin being so incredibly selfless. I got to tell you. My mom, big gardener, big planter. They don't exist anymore, but the Milwaukee County grounds, and I got a couple of friends and family members with farms up north. I gotta tell you, the picking out the rocks before you rototill the fields and get it all ready for the planting. Yeah. Oh my Lord! You started talking about that. And I was having like PTSD back from having to do this moons ago.
Well, and you drive by farms and you see them out there working so hard and yes, still picking rocks. I remember I used to ask my dad, where do these rocks keep coming from? You know,
yeah, if they're not there when we harvest, where are they coming from? Yeah. The part of the magic of Wisconsin and farming, is it not? Yeah, my mom used to have like 2 to 3 plots out at the Milwaukee County Gardens, which used to be where the old mental health hospital is, which is now basically the Milwaukee County Regional Medical Complex. And boy, she'd be making plans to which one of her brothers is going to come help rototill, and we got to get the rocks picked. And I would just, oh no. It was what I would call my early childhood physical conditioning program.
There were no small rocks. They were all huge.
Heck no, especially, well, I will say I did have some physical advantages being sort of off the growth charts when I popped out of the womb. So that did help with the hefting and moving heavy things. As I say often to folks, you're never going to miss the fact that I'm from Wisconsin when I tell people and say, yes, if you do you have a heavy thing to move? Yes, I can do that. I like to move heavy things. Terry, what else
we
you got for
early,
us?
Didn't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay, here in Wisconsin. Oh, boy. Well, this one takes us to Brown County, another family story. This one is a small fourth generation family run business. And they are crediting cheese for continuing success. Of course, Dufek Wood Products is based in Denmark. Now, that is in Brown County in northeast Wisconsin. For more than 100 years, it has focused on manufacturing cheese boxes, you know, those big boxes where you age the cheese and then you can ship the cheese in those boxes as well. Well, the family does make some other wood products too, and recently won a charcuterie board competition for creating one that holds 760 pounds of cheese. It is so big, Maggie, it is now newly named into the Guinness Book of World Records. How about that?
I love this. I need to come up with some new category, right? Some new category of world's biggest, best, thus and such, and call Guinness up and tell them that I've broken a new record just in some made up category. I don't know. Folks, if you've got a new category of Guinness book type stuff that you want the Maggie Dawn show to call in about, 700 pounds of cheese?
Cheese. Whoa. On the largest charcuterie board ever.
I want to know what
to be invited to that party.
Well, absolutely. And how much beer and wine go along with that charcuterie board. I want to know how many pounds of the other stuff, if it's 700 pounds of crackers, of cheese, what is the cheese to cracker ratio, the cheese to grape weight ratio, right? Like, inquiring minds want to know, do they have olives?
Well, how many pounds? I can get olives? Those answers for you. And sausage or salami?
In Wisconsin, I might be upgrading our charcuterie boards, right? In Wisconsin, basically, if you've got a cured meat and cheese, it counts as a charcuterie board. End of story. You can skip the Marcona olives. You can skip the olives. Cured meats and cheeses, that's a party.
I love it. I love it. I also enjoyed the story so much that I did write it up on our website. And if you want to read more about the family and the world record, you can go to civicmedia.us to see more.
I love it. I got to tell you a little funny story.
Funny stories.
Well, let's hope maybe should under promise, over deliver here. When I was living in New York, a lot of the cocktail gatherings, et cetera, a little low on the food. You know what I'm saying? If you come from Wisconsin, you hang out in NYC, they got a good cocktail spread. But I was like, you got a bowl of peanuts? Where are the eats, right? not big eaters in New York City. So when I would show up at parties, I'd be searching around for some nibbles. In Wisconsin, we never show up empty-handed to anybody's house. It's just considered bad form, right? So a bottle of something likely liquid and having some alcohol in it, usually you check that box. And then a foodstuff of some sort, be it olives, Marcona, something appropriate for a charcuterie plate, or just a nice bundt cake. These are the things that we bring with us to parties in Wisconsin. So I would typically bring these things along in New York, and people would look at me like, what are you doing? The booze was always well received, but the food stuff was met with consternation. What am I supposed to do with this? So I quickly abandoned that. I went to flowers and alcohol, right? Flowers and alcohol. But I have to tell you, so when I was living in New York, I had gotten very lucky. It's a long story I'll tell on some other show, but was very fortunate to move into and inherit basically an apartment that was really large, and I had a roommate, and we threw this huge Hanukkah Christmas Festivus party. Helped my roommates make latkes, and there was just this huge amount of food. I made something like 2,000 cookies, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You can imagine the butter and sugar that I went through, and these are all very old inherited recipes from my grandmothers and my great aunts, right? Good Wisconsin cookies, butter and sugar up the wazoo, as we say. We had about 100 people come through our apartment over the course of the day. And Terry, people had never seen food like that laid out. They were so happy. There was so much joy in that apartment. People were asking for to-go bags for the cookies. Can I take these home? I've never tasted things like this. It was the best to give people butter and sugar in a bite-sized form in New York City and plenty of it. Thank you so much, Terry Barr. It's a pleasure to have you back on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Oh, my pleasure as well. And thank you for your great story, too.
Absolutely.
Happy weekend,
terrific.
Everyone.
Yeah, happy weekend from Terry Barr. We're going to have her back next Friday. We're going to get back into the groove with Local and Overlooked with Terry Barr, one of our own civic media legends here. I'm Maggie Dawn. We got the last segment of this week coming up next. If you want to get in on the action, 855-75-CIVIC. I'll have some closing thoughts on this, a very busy week of news, just after these messages when we come back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
Eagle 1490 AM. I'm telling these tears going fall away,
oh, may the last one burn into flame.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've got thoughts to close out this week, a burning question for me. Always want to hear from y'all. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I began this hour, or this 2 hours, by talking about Judge Aileen Cannon. She's an idiot and a hack and should be taken off the Trump criminal documents case. And got some really great feedback on the text line that I didn't have a chance to get to. Jeff from Shorewood, hats off to you, brother. Thanks for your text and participation. What I was pointing out was that Aileen Cannon asked Donald Trump's lawyers and Jack Smith, the prosecutors, to propose jury instructions. And jury instructions that presumed and were structured around one of two hypotheticals. The first hypothetical was write jury instructions that assume that the jury needs to decide whether these highly sensitive and confidential top secret national security documents were Donald Trump's personal documents. I just want y'all to think about that for a second. That these highly sensitive war plans, let's just call them that, war plans and national security plans and intelligence documents, that the jury should figure out if they were Donald Trump's personal documents. I don't think that takes a jury. Just saying. And the second hypothetical that she wanted jury instructions written assuming was that the president gets to decide if our war plans are actually his personal documents. I mean, when you break it down like that, it sounds really stupid, doesn't it? And indeed it is. And Jack Smith went to great pains in his response to this stupid request from Judge Aileen Cannon to point this out. And let me start. I pointed out before, it was weird that she was asking for these instructions months and months and months and months before they're even close to trial. That ain't how it usually works. Any federal litigator will tell you that. And what was secondarily weird and the stupider part about it is that both of these questions assume that somehow these documents, A, can be personally owned by Donald Trump. They can't. And secondly, that somehow that would wash away the fact that it's still a crime under the Espionage Act for him to possess these documents intentionally and willfully. Because he kept them without prior authorization. The reason that this is so alarming isn't just her stupidity or the fact that she's slow walking the case, the fact that she's already once basically had another stupid decision crammed down her throat by basically her boss, which is the appeals court that reviews her decisions. All those things are bad enough. The stupidity of thinking that this Presidential Records Act, which came about after Watergate, whose sole purpose is to keep presidents from claiming that these kinds of documents are their own property, because that's bad and could be used to cover up presidential crimes, right? The very thing that's going on here. But it's a civil statute. It's a civil body of federal law. It has nothing to do with the Criminal Espionage Act. But what's really, really scary here is that by refusing, so she, the good part, the one good piece of news is she rejected Donald Trump's motion to dismiss. So like one thing she didn't totally screw up, but the rest of her decision is complete and utter garbage. And she really had no way to grant Trump's motion to dismiss. It would have been legal heresy. She would have basically had to never show her face in public ever again. But what's really going on here is this. She said, and it sounds so whiny. This is what she wrote. Nor should my ruling be interpreted as anything other than what it was, or this request for these untimely jury instructions that bake in this legal fallacy and stupidity. Nor should my request be interpreted as anything other than what it was, a genuine attempt in the context of an upcoming trial to better understand the parties' competing positions and the questions to be submitted to the jury in this complex case of first impression. Oh my God, my job's so hard. This is not a case of first impression. Richard Nixon existed. That's why the Presidential Records Act came about. Hey, all those textualists who are all up, these conservative, hey, we have to understand the reason that these words were written and blah, 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 blah. And the, yeah, it's to prevent a president from arguing exactly what Donald Trump is arguing here. There is no way that a civil statute can somehow gut the very purposes of the Espionage Act, which Judge Cannon has previously said in other hearings. But this is the scariest part. She basically, in this ruling, rejects the motion to dismiss from Trump and then says, I'll figure this issue about the Presidential Records Act out later. Jack Smith is saying to her, no, you need to figure it out now. It is a question of law. Questions of law do not need to be answered by a jury because they are pure questions of law. That is exactly the purview of judges. And if she waits and waits and waits and waits and waits, which this judge has already proved to us that she is very happy to do, and a jury in this case is sworn in before she decides this question, and she allows Donald Trump to make these completely ludicrous arguments that are against history, that are anti-democratic, that are totalitarian, and that are just plainly stupid, guess what will have happened? The jury has been sworn, double jeopardy has attached, and it will be impossible for Jack Smith to try to unring this ridiculously incompetent judge's bad decision-making. He will not be able to appeal once a jury is sworn, and we may have one of the worst violations of our justice system and jurisprudence in modern American history, thanks to Judge Eileen Cannon. Nicely done. We should laugh her right off the bench. I'm Maggie Dawn.
The talk that matters to you and fits your lifestyle.
Tune out all the yelling and screaming.
Come soaring with Eagle 1490. Night
Spotlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is April Fool's Day. Did you fall for any jokes today, Conrad?
Well, I guess I did fall for one, but it was unfair because it happened last week.
Yeah, what the heck?
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven.
We both fell for that, but it's not even... It's like after the Kurter Burger, I'll believe anything. I can believe it was hot dog water, and that was like March 26th. That's so lame.
They actually did make it, though. Good. You got some people to actually drink it.
Suckers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Crews are still tangling with the collapsed wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.